and passed out some worksheets before the services started. If you don't have one, Jay's got extras, so he can come around if you'll raise your hand if you need one of those. I don't see any hands. Great. My helpers did a good job. Oh, Judy needs one. So we're in the book of Proverbs, and last week we did kind of an introduction to the book of Proverbs, emphasizing what it's about and how to read the book of Proverbs. We talked about the introduction, the first seven verses of Proverbs, which lay out that this book is going to make us wise. Regardless if we are young or we are old, we all need wisdom. We all can grow in that. I'd like us to continue our study tonight. Last week I mentioned that the first nine chapters of Proverbs are a little bit different from the rest of the book. Usually when we think of Proverbs, we think about these scattered sayings where it's just one or two verses. But Proverbs chapters 1 through 9 are much different. They're written more like speeches or even sermons. I thought about just reading Proverbs 1 through 9 tonight, but that would take a lot of time. But what I'd like to do tonight is introduce us to four characters that we find saying things in Proverbs chapters 1 through 9. And these are characters that we're going to meet later on in the book as we talk more about specific things about the Proverbs. So the worksheet that you have in front of you is one that you're going to fill out. Actually, we're going to fill it out together. So you see behind me, I don't have a traditional PowerPoint. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at these four characters, the friends, the father. Those are contrasted with each other. Then we're going to look at Lady Folly and then Lady Wisdom, and we're going to contrast those. For each of those, we're going to first off just read the passage that's there. And then together we're going to kind of make a profile of what this character is, who this person represents, and especially what their message is. And at the end, we're going to make some concluding thoughts about which of these we really want to listen to. So I know this is not a traditional class setting, so some of you may not be comfortable speaking, and that is perfectly fine. I'm not going to call on anybody tonight, but I would like some feedback if you're comfortable with that, answering some of these questions that I have for you tonight. So let's dive into here, and let's talk about, first of all, the friends and what they have to say. So let's begin by reading Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. We'll go to verse 19. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching. For they will be a garland of favor on your head and pendants around your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, don't be persuaded. If they say, come with us, let's set an ambush and kill someone. Let's attack some innocent person just for fun. Let's swallow them alive like Sheol, whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll find all kinds of valuable property and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us, and we'll share all the loot. My son, don't travel that road with them or set foot on their path, because their feet run toward evil and they hurry to shed blood. It is useless to spread a net where any bird can see it. But they set an ambush to kill themselves. They attack their own lives. Such are the paths of all who make profit dishonestly. It takes the lives of those who receive it. All right, so thinking about that passage as a whole, first of all, what do these friends offer us? And while you're thinking about that, I'm going to get set up here to record some answers. What do they offer?
Exciting wealth.
Okay. What else?
Acceptance.
What else do they offer? What do you see in verses 11 and 12? Okay. Okay. What do you see in verses 11 and 12? Come with us, let's set an ambush and kill someone. Let's swallow them alive. Power. Okay. Yeah, these are the things that I had as well. Okay. Yeah, the Christian Standard Bible, which I'm reading from tonight, in verse 11, let's kill some innocent person just for fun. And looking at this list, which of us doesn't enjoy these things? Which of us doesn't enjoy wealth, especially if it comes easy, right? Which of us doesn't want acceptance, togetherness, some sense of belonging, people to throw our lot in with, people to be unified with? Who doesn't accept some measure of power and fun? The point is that this is the kind of thing that friends, and the wrong kinds of friends, are going to appeal to you. They're going to offer to you. So in their speeches, this is what they say. Their influence is strong. But in response to that, the father is speaking. And we'll get to the father in just a minute. But what does the father say to his son? How does he instruct his son to not listen to them? Okay. So we might say they ignore the right and wrong, right? The father says, don't go down that road because that's not the straight and narrow. What else does the father say that they ignore, or the son would be ignoring if he chose to follow his friends?
They spread a net where any bird can see it. They set an ambush that's going to kill themselves. They attack their own lives.
Yeah. So this really kind of hits on the heart of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is about wisdom and protecting your life, really. If you want to protect your life, don't go down the wrong road. When you choose the path of evil, then not only are others going to get hurt and others going to be destroyed, ultimately you're destroying yourself. Kevin? Yeah. So they ignore the wisdom of those who are wiser, those who have more experience, and those who are offering them good counsel. So look at verses 8 and 9 again. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching, for they will be a garland of favor on your head and pendants around your neck. And I find it interesting that as the book of Proverbs is opening, we looked at the first 7 verses of this chapter last week, but as the book of Proverbs is opening, the first real basic instruction that is given to the son is choose your friends carefully. And I think that's the point of this section here is you have to make wise decisions in the people that you're going to be around. If you choose to run around with the wrong crowd, you may think to yourself that it's not going to affect me, I'm strong enough, maybe I can influence them, which ideally could happen and should be able to happen. But sometimes the influence goes the other way around. And you know, it takes a lot of wisdom to see that. And someone who is very foolish is unwilling to see that and be upfront about that. Think about some people in the Bible who were influenced by people around them. Sometimes they're friends, sometimes by people who were not necessarily their friends, but they were able to influence them in some way. The first example I thought of was King Rehoboam. Remember, when the kingdom split between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Jeroboam took the northern half, and Solomon's son was in charge of the southern half. And the people of Judah came to Rehoboam asking him, really begging him, to lighten their load. Their taxation was heavy, and you know all this burden that Solomon had put upon them. And the first people he went to were the wise elders, which was a good choice. But then he later on went to his friends, and they gave him wrong counsel. And they said to him, look, if you do not alleviate their suffering, and you even make it worse, then you're going to have wealth. Then you're going to have acceptance. You're going to have power, and maybe you'll have a little bit of fun. And so you see how Rehoboam made the wrong choice. He did not listen to wisdom there. He listened to those who were his wrong, who should not have been the people he should have been listening to. So the friends offer us a picture of what it's like to fall into the wrong type of influence. Don't be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I've been in situations before where I was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong kind of person, and I got in trouble. I may not have necessarily done something wrong, but I was in the wrong place because I was following the wrong crowd. Now, that can happen a few times, but the more times that happens, you're going to find yourself doing the wrong thing that everyone else is. We must not underestimate the pull and the influence of people around us. And so our friends may not come to us with these same words that are here. Let's go and kill somebody. I mean, I've never had a friend say that to me. And hopefully you haven't either. If you have, then there's a pretty good indication that's not the kind of person you want to be around. But friends do a lot of other things that sound a lot less harmful, sound a lot more innocent. But think about what they're actually saying. Think about what they're offering you, what they're actually leading you to do, and think about what doing that would cause you to ignore. So the friends give us an example of what not to do when you're around the wrong kinds of people. Any thoughts or comments to add to that? All right, well, let's go on to talking about the Father. And this, I have on the chart here, Proverbs 2, 3, and 4, but for the sake of time, we're just going to read chapters 2 and 3. So let's read this together. Proverbs chapters 2 and 3. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commandments within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding. Furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up success for the upright. He is a shield for those who live with integrity, so that he may guard the paths of justice and protect the way of his faithful followers. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and integrity, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will delight you. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. It will rescue you from the ways of evil. For anyone who says perverse things, from those who abandon the right paths to walk in ways of darkness, from those who enjoy doing evil and celebrate perversion, whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious. It'll rescue you from a forbidden woman, from a wayward woman with her flattering talk, who abandons the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her ways to the land of the departed spirits. None return who go to her, none reach the paths of life. So follow the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those of integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous ripped out of it. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands, for they will bring you many days, a full life, and well-being. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and high regard with God and people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him and he will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. Do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe his discipline. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. Happy is a man who finds wisdom, who acquires understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, and her revenue is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can equal her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant and all her paths peaceful. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and those who hold on to her are happy. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom and established the heavens by understanding. By his knowledge, the watery depths broke open and the clouds dripped with dew. Maintain sound wisdom and discretion. My son, don't lose sight of them, for they will be life for you and adornment for your neck. Then you will go safely on your way. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. You will lie down and your sleep will be pleasant. Don't fear sudden danger or the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from a snare. When it is in your power, don't withhold good from the one to whom it belongs. Don't say to your neighbor, go away, come back later. I'll give it to tomorrow when it is there with you. Don't plan any harm against your neighbor, for he trusts and lives near you. Don't accuse anyone without cause when he has done you no harm. Don't envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the devious are detestable to the Lord, but he is a friend to the upright. The Lord's curse is on the household of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks those who mock, but gives grace to the humble. The wise will inherit honor, but he holds up fools to dishonor. So again, picture a father speaking to his young son about giving direction in life and giving him the foundation for making choices in life. I think about myself as a young man, and there were many times when I was living with my parents that their wisdom to me did not sound like wisdom at all. It just sounded oppressive. It sounded silly, sounded ridiculous, and didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. There we go. But then later on in life, I come to realize that it's actually helpful wisdom. It's good wisdom. And so a father's wisdom is sometimes scorned, but should not be ignored. What do you see in these chapters about the kind of attitude that we ought to have towards wisdom? How should we look at wisdom? Okay, when you're looking for a treasure, you are diligent in your labors. You work hard for it because it's something you really, really want. Same should be true of wisdom. We ought to seek it as if we're seeking something incredibly valuable. What else do you see?
Verse 6 says the Lord gives wisdom.
Okay, chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. And that's one thing that I tried to emphasize in last week's lesson is that wisdom can sound very secular and non-religious sometimes. And there is a lot of non-religious wisdom out there. But if we want to have the true wisdom, then it begins with the fear of the Lord. True wisdom comes from him. So we ought to seek it from him. The Lord has no lack of wisdom, does he? And he He can share that wisdom with us if we're willing to listen. So store up an abundance of that. Look at chapter 3, in verse 3. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. It reminds me of the book of Deuteronomy when Moses is instructing parents to teach wisdom and to tie it around their necks and talk of it whenever they rise up, when they lie down, and to write these words on their hearts. When you're writing something on your heart, it's something that you value, and it's something that you don't just memorize, but you commit it to your heart. And so that's the attitude that we ought to have towards wisdom. When people give us wisdom that may not necessarily make sense to us, may not necessarily be what we want to hear or what we like to hear, don't reject it just because of that. We ought to seek the wisdom that comes from God. What else do you see about the blessings of wisdom? If we choose this kind of attitude towards wisdom, what comes? What are the blessings that wisdom offers us? Okay. Protection. Happiness. Okay. Chapter 3, verse 8 says, "This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones." Just from a very practical standpoint, it's going to offer us health. Now, we understand that health, physical health, isn't the most important thing. But the book of Proverbs says to us that health and wealth are valuable things to have in life. And that if we live in the fear of the Lord, then as a general principle, God's going to bless us with that. This is very different from the prosperity gospel, mind you. This is not saying that if we serve God, everything's going to be just fine and dandy. We're going to be wealthy. We're going to have pleasure unbounded. But rather, this is about wisdom. If you live in wisdom, then things are generally going to go well with you. It's a general principle. Randy, did you have your hand up? Okay, so safety. You think in contrast with the friends, okay? If we choose to listen to the wrong types of people and we find ourselves in a situation where we're in trouble with the law because of the foolish decisions that we have made, we think about the safety that comes from doing right. Safety comes from doing right. I think that's a very practical example of what he's talking about. You do the wrong thing, you're going to get in trouble with the law, with other people, with your family. But you follow the wisdom that your parents offer you. Follow the wisdom that your father gives to you, and it's going to give you life. I think about an example of someone who followed wisdom for at least a good part of his life is Solomon. Solomon was blessed with immense wisdom from God. And along with his wisdom, he had long life. He had a lot of wealth. He had a lot of pleasure. Now, the ironic thing is that eventually he did not listen to his own wisdom, and his wives turned his heart against God, which is ironic because he was a wise man. Why would a wise man do such a foolish thing? But for a great part of his life, he lived in wisdom and was blessed because of it. Kevin, did you have something you want to say? Yes. A single bad choice can lead us down just consequences we can't even imagine. And so which of these two groups has a greater pull on our heart? Do we listen to our friends or do we listen to our Father? All right, well, let's drop down to the Proverbs chapter 7 here. And let's do the same thing with who we're going to call Lady Folly tonight. Interestingly, the book of Proverbs characterizes wisdom and foolishness as two different types of ladies or women. And Proverbs chapter 7 gives us a picture of that. So read with me here, chapter 7. My son, obey my words and treasure my commands. Keep my commands and live and guard my instructions as you would the pupil of your eye. Tie them to your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your relative. She will keep you from a forbidden woman, a wayward woman with her flattering talk. At the window of my house, I looked through the lattice. I saw among the inexperienced, I noticed among the youths, a young man lacking sense. Crossing the street near her corner, he strolled down the road to her house at twilight in the evening in the dark of the night. A woman came to meet him, dressed like a prostitute, having a hidden agenda. She is loud and defiant. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, she lurks at every corner. She grabs him and kisses him. She brazenly says to him, I've made my fellowship offerings. Today I fulfilled my vows. So I came out to meet you, to search for you, and I found you. I've spread coverings on my bed, richly colored linen from Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink deeply of lovemaking until morning. Let's feast on each other's love. My husband isn't home. He went on a long journey. He took a bag of silver with him, and he will come home at the time of the full moon. She seduces him with her persistent pleading. She lures him with her flattering talk. He follows her impulsively, like an ox going to the slaughter. Like a deer bounding toward a trap until an arrow pierces its liver. Like a bird darting into a snare, he doesn't know that it will cost him his life. Now, sons, listen to me. Pay attention to the words from my mouth. Don't let her heart stray, your heart turn aside to her paths. Don't stray onto her paths. For she has brought many down to death. Her victims are countless. Her road is the road to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. How would you characterize this woman here? Okay. What is she pictured as? What kind of a woman? Adulteress. Okay? And I don't think this is just some theoretical picture. This is specifically a warning against sexual temptation. She's pictured as an evil woman. Notice in my translation, yours may read differently. In verse 10, she has a hidden agenda. She's got something she wants to destroy. She's intent. Is to destroy. All right, how else would you describe her? She sounds what? Yes, she's relentless in this. What did you say, Kevin? Persuasive. What does she say in verse 14? She's talking about offerings and paying her vows. She's religious, isn't she? She's got this front that she's religious, but inside, she's a very different person. How does she appeal to him? Okay. And I think earlier in the chapter it mentions the way that she's dressed. She's dressed in a way to allure. So when she talks about her husband, he's gone. No one's going to know, right? This is going to be secretive. There's going to be no consequences. No one's going to find out. It's going to be okay. Anything else you can think of? So this is a woman who is described as leading intentionally someone into sin. A profile is like that of an adulteress. What does she forget conveniently to mention? Does it say that again? Didn't hear you.
I'm guessing she's carrying a few diseases.
Okay. Let's go to a couple more passages that we didn't read really quickly. Chapter 6, verse 26. Chapter 6, verse 26. Her fee is only a loaf of bread, but the wife of another man goes after a precious life. I believe the New American Standard says, on account of her, a man is reduced to a loaf of bread. Okay. She does not mention that poverty comes. Yes. Let's go to chapter 5 really quickly. Chapter 5, verse 11. It's talking about if you choose to follow this woman, at the end of your life you will lament when your physical body has been consumed, and you will say, how I hated discipline and how my heart despised correction. I didn't obey my teachers or listen closely to my instructors. I am on the verge of complete ruin before the entire community. She doesn't mention the fact that there's shame, dishonor, and disgrace at the end of this road. Think about David, a man after God's own heart. It's easy for us to kind of laugh at this alluring temptation here. But David was a strong man, and he fell. And for fear of being found out, he covered it up with deception, lies, and deceit, and even murder, because he was afraid of the shame and the dishonor that would come from this. So the lesson here is that if we choose to follow this woman, then ultimately it's going to destroy your life. Go back to chapter 7 really quickly. Chapter 7. Verses 22 and 23, this describes the moment at which he decides to follow this adulteress. He follows her impulsively, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer bounding toward a trap. Until an arrow pierces its liver, like a bird darting into a snare, he doesn't know that it will cost him his life. What she does not mention at the end of the day is that death is going to come. Now, consequences are not, there's not always a one-to-one connection between choices and consequences. But this is intended to give us a picture of, if we choose to go down this road, this is just what we're asking for. Okay, these are the things that we are welcoming into our lives if we choose to follow sexual immorality. And again, it's easy for us to kind of blow this off as meaningless, but let's understand that these are real temptations and that they can destroy us if we are not careful. Yes, sir. Yes, absolutely. Very real. And this woman is lurking on every corner. At school, at our workplace, on the internet. This woman is lurking in every place, and she is intent on destroying us. Rick?
Mm-hmm. Then she comes out to meet you. Then all these things happen. Then you're stuck in the trap before you've even committed the sin, and you can't seem to get free without the Lord's help.
Yes.
And so many people are in that. But yeah, we've got to make our decision early on. No, I'm not gonna go that way.
Yep. Don't go anywhere near that route. Very good. Very well said. Well, let's listen to Lady Wisdom, on the other hand. And interestingly, she comes right after in Proverbs chapter 8. Listen to her appeal. Doesn't wisdom call out? Doesn't understanding make her voice heard? At the heights overlooking the road, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the main entrance, she cries out. Notice that she's crying out in the street just like this other woman was. She wants people to listen to her. People, I call out to you. My cry is to the children of Adam. Learn to be shrewd, you who are inexperienced. Develop common sense, you who are foolish. Listen, for I speak of noble things, and what my lips say is right. For my mouth tells the truth, and wickedness is detestable to my lips. All the words from my mouth are righteous. None of them are deceptive or perverse. All of them are clear to the perceptive and right to those who discover knowledge. Accept my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and nothing desirable can equal it. I, wisdom, share a home with shrewdness, and have knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate arrogant pride, evil conduct, and perverse speech. I possess good advice and sound wisdom. I have understanding and strength. It is by me that kings reign and rulers enact just law. By me, princes lead, as do nobles and all righteous judges. I love those who love me, and those who search for me find me. With me are riches and honor, lasting wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than solid gold, and my harvest than pure silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness along the paths of justice, giving wealth as an inheritance to those who love me, filling their treasuries. Let's drop down to verse 32 here. And now, sons, listen to me. Those who keep my ways are happy. Listen to instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Anyone who listens to me is happy, watching at my doors every day, waiting by the posts of my doorway. For the one who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But the one who misses me harms himself. All who hate me love death. So how would you describe this woman? So we might say that she has really nothing to hide. She's not trying to deceive. She is being open. She is not using deception. She's clear. She's not trying to be perverse. Very good contrast there. If you could give a profession to this woman, what would it be? What kind of profession would she have? That question makes sense. A teacher. All right, that's exactly what I was thinking. There are probably other right answers too, but I think of this woman as a teacher. She is here to help. She's here to show us the right way. And if we do not listen to her, we're only destroying ourselves. What else does she give to us? Or how else would you describe this woman like a teacher? Yes. If we choose to listen to her, there's great reward. We'll talk about those in just a minute. What does she teach us?
Understanding.
Okay.
Righteousness. Set boundaries.
Okay. In verses 15 and 16, what kind of people use her advice? Or ought to? Leaders. A good leader is going to listen to wisdom. Kings are going to reign and enact just law through her. So we see justice. Prudence. And she shows the true value. Notice in verses 10 through 12, accept my instruction instead of silver, which is a contrast to what we saw with the friends. Remember, the friends were saying to this young man, throw in your lot with us, we're gonna make some easy money here. And she says, Don't accept silver. Instead, accept wisdom. Wisdom is the true value. So what are her rewards? I guess this might be a repeat of some of the things we've already said, but they need to be said again. What are the rewards for listening to wisdom? Riches and righteousness. Honor. Verses 32 through 36 talk about life. That all who hate me love death. Life is the ultimate reward for listening to her. So instead of choosing the immoral woman, love the woman who is truly beautiful. Love the woman who will give you life. And in contrast to David, I think about Joseph. When he was in Egypt and Potiphar's wife grabbed his cloak and begged him and tried to seduce him, he ran the other way. Joseph was a man who listened to wisdom because he thought about the consequences that would happen. He said to her, "How can I do this thing against God?" He also thought about how he could not do this against Potiphar because of the great things, the great position that Potiphar had entrusted him with. So who has a stronger pull on our hearts? Is it the immoral woman or is it the wise woman? So we've got four profiles here. We've got the friends, we've got the father, we've got Lady Folly, we've got Lady Wisdom. These illustrate two paths for us to choose from. There's a fork in the road, you might say. We've got a choice to follow the friends and the immoral woman down a path that leads to death. We've got the choice to follow the father and wisdom that leads to life. Here are two paths to choose from. And on paper, it looks pretty easy, doesn't it? Looks very easy to choose life and wisdom on paper. But when we come to life itself, when we come to the everyday choices of life, why do we often choose foolishness? I mean, we've talked about the consequences of influence and the consequences of falling into temptation. We know those things, don't we? But why do we choose foolishness? I want to give you three very short reasons. Number one is that foolishness is the path of least resistance. Foolishness is the path of least resistance. The wise, instead of doing what's easy, are going to do what's right. Secondly, the foolish choice appeals to what we want, what we think, or what we feel. The wise are going to maybe take those into consideration, but ultimately do what God says. That's what's going to make the choice for the wise person. And thirdly, the foolish choice is going to obscure the real consequences. It's going to say, here's pleasure, here's riches, here's fun, here's enjoyment, power, acceptance. But it ignores the fact that consequences are going to come, the real consequences of that. The wise are going to think about the future. Rick?
You like it, but here as well.
Yes. Okay, so instead of falling for counterfeit wisdom, let's choose real wisdom. It's interesting when you compare these two women in the book of Proverbs, and in a lot of senses, they look very same. They use the same expressions. They use the same words, especially when you read the conclusion. They're contrasted side by side right in chapter 9. They appeal with the exact same words. but it takes wisdom to know the difference between the truth and the counterfeit. So as we conclude tonight, I just want to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Because Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, as he's concluding the Sermon on the Mount, that the choice is still the same today. The choices we've been talking about in Proverbs are just as relevant then as they are today. Jesus tells this parable of the two men, the two builders. In verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash." The choice is ours tonight. Which are we going to choose? Are we going to choose to be foolish, or are we going to choose to be wise? Again, it's very easy to sit in here in this room tonight and say, "Oh yes, I'm going to choose the wisdom." But that's a choice we have to make every day of our lives, every moment of our lives. It's a choice that we must make. Have you made that choice tonight? Have you decided that you're going to commit to following wisdom? And wisdom ultimately is found in Jesus Christ. If you need to respond to the gospel tonight, we're going to sing a song to invite you, to encourage you. If there's something that you need to do about your life tonight, we encourage you to do that right now or in your seat or as you're standing there singing the song. Or maybe you need to go home tonight and make some changes in your life. Do that right now as we stand and as we sing.